The amount of wealth in Montreal in the late 19th century was increasing exponentially, although the number of rich people was not. The personal wealth of the English-speaking elite was growing out of all proportion. The mansions being built and expanded to house this muchness were glorious. They were grand artworks. They were truly majestic. They were placed on the side of the hill as though on a pedestal. The dome of the Anglican cathedral looked like a scoop of mint ice cream in the middle of them. The streets of the Golden Mile, as it was known, snaked up the hill. You had to go up the winding roads patiently in your carriage, but it was well worth taking the ride slowly because there was so much to see. The gardens were as beautiful as the homes. All the parks were modeled by British gardeners. They were to have a disciplined feel. They weren't supposed to exhibit the brash, tangled, almost jungle-like quality of North American nature. Some of the trees didn't behave. They ripped up the streets and stretched the sidewalks in precarious ways. And the trees that didn't follow the rules found themselves covered in children who perched on all their branches wearing bloomers and tiny black boots and bows in their hair. The children whispered to one another, pretending they were on pirate ships and that there were vicious sharks below. And they clung to the branches of the trees as if for safety, as though the trees were their mothers. And the trees could not help but be domesticated and found themselves longing for children in their arms. The most glorious house of all in the Golden Mile was inhabited by the widower, Mr. Antoine, and his only child, Marie. As family legend had it, Marie's first steps were ballet moves across the floor. Whereas most children take a few awkward and stumbling steps, she did a petit pas de chat. She walked around with her tiny ballet slippers, looking very much like a duck, with the ribbons trailing behind her like marks in the water. She performed for people. As she grew, she spent more time on the name of the dance than the choreography itself.
"And now I present to you a deer who has been separated from its family."
She put both hands with her fingers spread out to resemble antlers, and she walked around on tiptoe, looking about herself desperately for her other deer family. Her nursery was constantly being repainted with new murals. Her father told the painters to consult with Marie, as it was her room and she was the one who had to be pleased with it. There was a life-size image of a goat sitting on a chair, sipping a glass of milk. In general, guests were never taken up to the nursery. But Louis felt inclined once in a while to bring people up to see it. Everyone was so delighted by the whimsy displayed. It was a very new idea to regard childhood as a period of life that was to be revered and worthy of consideration on its own. People used to consider children to be inefficient adults. But now they were regarded as being in an Edenic state where they had access to an imaginative faculty superior to reason. Everything they said contained a wisdom that had been lost to adults. Childhood needed to be encouraged. People had to spend all their time focused on making this the most magical of all periods in life. Louis often thought of himself as the originator of this kind of thinking. He thought Marie was the baby who had started the Victorian craze for babies. Ever since her mother had died when Marie was in infancy, it had always been just the two of them. He was the owner of the largest sugar factory in the country, so there was no expense too great to develop Marie's childhood. When she was six, he had Marie's silhouette printed on every bag of sugar. Because they were the most influential family in Montreal, nothing they did could really be interpreted as gauche. The minute they engaged in an activity, it went from being considered uncouth to being something others did not have the money to pull off.